Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. I'm pleased to welcome Master Gardener and Horticulture Therapist Alan Goddard. Alan's love of cultivating plants began as a child when he won a prize at school for growing the largest begonia in winter. Alan's varied career has taken him from greenhouses in Canada to landscape work in Saudi Arabia. He's a sought-after speaker and educator and recently received the Award of Merit by the Ontario Horticulture Association for his contribution to horticulture over the years. Congratulations, Alan, and welcome.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. That was very flattering. You don't often hear things about yourself like that, which is wonderful. But I've been doing it for many years, so it all rang a bell quite nicely.
Oh, that's nice. I'm glad I covered not half as much as I could have. But happy April 1st, I should say. Have you been fooled by anyone today?
No, just on the radio once, like the radio always does. I'm sure on your own station they were fooling people too. But now it's after 12, so it's all over.
That's right. Well, we got fooled a little with the touch of snow again this morning, but I guess we expected that. Angie told us all about that, didn't she?
Typical April day.
That's for sure. So let's begin with a description, if you would please, of horticulture therapy. What is it and how does it affect our well-being?
Okay, that was perfect. I was quite prepared to do that because that's important to know what we're talking of first. I pulled out some definitions. There are so many definitions by so many different people as to how things get defined, not just in horticulture therapy. So I will do this. Horticulture therapy is two words. Let's look at the first word, horticulture, and define that. It is the art or science of cultivating gardens. That's from Collins English Dictionary. Then we look at therapy, the treatment of disorders or disease. That is also from Collins English Dictionary. Now, let's put them together. Horticulture therapy is a process which uses plants, horticultural activities, and the natural world to promote awareness and well-being by improving the body, mind, and spirit. Horticulture therapy is universal, adaptable, and validated by research. And that's from the Canadian Horticulture Therapy Association. So those are some definitions at the beginning. I've got a couple of other definitions of horticulture therapy that I'd like to read, if I could, to give another cross-section of what it is.
Sure.
Horticulture therapy, a process using plants and horticultural activities to improve social, educational, psychological, and physical adjustment of persons, thus improving their body, mind, and spirit. Now, I like this one. Horticulture therapy is a process through which plants, gardening activities, and the innate closeness we all feel towards nature are used as vehicles in professionally conducted programs of therapy and rehabilitation. So it could go on. There's a lot of definitions and meanings, but those are the basics.
Right. You know, Alan, it sounds like something we kind of have to work at. I mean, don't we become relaxed just by being surrounded by nature, or is this something we have to work at?
Well, you know, that's what I've extended horticulture therapy into. It is something you have to work at if we're going to be using horticulture therapy for specific cross-sections of society who do need healing or who do need rehabilitation or brightening up of lives, etc. There's been horticulture therapy programs in our prisons over the years. They have farm programs set up right on the grounds, which has been remarkably successful. We give horticulture therapy programs to seniors who have mental breakdowns such as Alzheimer's and I forget the other name for it now. There's things like that, or children with learning disabilities who are really agitated, etc., and can't fit in right away. Horticulture therapies will soothe them very, very quickly and very easily. So there's many directed therapy programs. But the one that I have been doing for the past probably 50 years of my life is working with people in horticulture, which they dictate to me right back again. And they say, well, you know, that makes me feel fantastic just working in the garden. So we, especially nowadays, in the last 2 years we've been going through and what's going on in the world, many of us get agitated, and many of us say, I'm going out in the garden. And it's because we know it's a wonderful place to be. Our mind can drift elsewhere. We see things happen. We see things get produced. We see flowers. We see insects, the birds, etc. So that's what I've been concentrating on so much of the time, because having been in landscaping officially for 25, 27 years here in Elmont, many of my clients wanted spaces to use as an outdoor space or as their own therapeutic space without even knowing that it was therapeutic. So this is what gardening does to all of us, regardless as to whether we're a special population or not. We're all special populations because we're all different. So we each have our own adaptations to how things make us feel better.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've been in horticulture for a number of years, and I'm just wondering, what gave you that idea to become a horticulture therapist? Did you find that there was a need there in people?
Well, I discovered it, I guess. I learned of horticulture therapy, I guess, about 20 years ago, and I thought that there was a program being offered at the Royal Botanical Gardens down in Burlington. I just thought, well, I could go down and learn about this a lot more. And the strange thing was, when I went down there to learn about the program, etc., was I was out of about 25 students. It was a 5-week program over about 2.5 years, and I was the only one with a strong horticulture background. The others in the class had backgrounds in psychology or psychiatry or working with seniors or working with children with autism or all sorts of work with people on the other side of the spectrum, and they were there to learn about horticulture. So they could apply their therapy using horticulture, and I was the one with all the horticulture, and it was very interesting because I was asked very often about many plants and this and this and this, so I was contributing a lot. Anyway,
you know,
I guess if I hadn't been there, they would have missed a lot of horticulture.
Right. Now, you know, so what is it about a garden that creates this relaxation effect in people? Is it the process of gardening? Is it the steps we take? And what are some of those things?
Well, I think it's start to finish because, for example, now, this time of year, people who like gardening especially will be looking forward to the seed catalogs, which have been coming in the mail. Now, there aren't nearly as many as there used to be. Most of them are online now. But I used to get seed catalogs coming in, then I'd say, oh, man, I want to grow this. Oh, I'd love to grow that. So there's incredible anticipation when April comes along, and it's almost a signal to our minds that gardening is upon us. So we look up seeds, and we have our imagination, sometimes getting out of control, because we often buy too many seeds. And we've got it's so easy to do. And there's some left over. But then the whole process of getting out, preparing, looking at the garden, doing some tidy up after the winter when things are drying up a bit, looking at perennials if it's all vegetable gardening, getting the bedding ready, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, the May 24th weekend is a calendar indicator, really, about when we can plant things. That I should caution people on about, because I have seen frost come along in the first week of June and kill off a lot of annuals that people planted. So it's almost, I'm lucky to say I have intuition, I guess. I'll say, no, we're not done yet. Frost is going to be upon us soon.
Right.
A friend of mine said, never plant your garden before the full moon of May. So maybe that's another indicator as well. Who knows what other forces are upon us. But the whole process of watching, touching, feeling, using all of our senses in the garden, we don't realize we're using all our senses, but we'll smell the beautiful scent of the lilacs out. We'll feel the fuzzy leaves of certain plants growing in the garden. We'll feel the warmth of the soil. We'll taste our produce from a vegetable garden. So we're using all our senses in gardening, and putting all those together, it makes our mind very much at ease, because the whole process is very, very satisfying for us, one way or the other.
I was just going to ask you, how does your garden work for you in a therapeutic sense? But I think you've already just covered a lot of that. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Well, yes,
go out in your garden?
There is, actually, and that's a very good point. Because my garden, a lot of people have said to me over the years, your garden is like the cobbler and the cobbler's children wearing hardly any shoes because he's too busy making them. my garden is, I've got a lot of trees around the property and shrubs. And they're getting large, and they're taking over much of the soil area, which is great because trees are very, very important to me. But overall, I plant a few containers for the front courtyard of this and this. I bring some of my houseplants out, and it usually ends up looking like a tropical jungle out there, but it's kind of fun. But overall, the rest of the garden, I just let it go. I've got wild things growing. I've got wildflowers growing. I've got a plant out there that I'm sure the listeners know about, or some of them will know about, is Himalayan balsam. It gets to be 6, 7, 8 feet tall. It's wonderful for hummingbirds and bees. They absolutely love it. And it's in the impatiens family. But it's terribly maligned because it seeds absolutely readily. But I'll tell you, part of the fun of the Himalayan balsam seed pods is to pick a big fat one very carefully and put it into somebody's hand, and they are so sensitive, they'll explode, and the seeds get cast a good number of feet away. I did it to my sister one time. I said, look what this is. And I put it into her hand and exploded, and she just shrieked because she didn't expect that. So that's a fun thing to think about, but my garden just goes, and I let it do whatever it wants in the back. It's more of a woodland, somewhat contained. There are some weedy specimens that tend to get out of control that you don't want to have overtaking, like garlic mustard. It's very invasive, that's one, and can just create a ground cover and take over everything. But that my whole piece is just to take a coffee or a tea or a mug of beer down to the backyard or walk around the property and just look at what's happening.
Sounds good. And keep your ears and eyes open, or perhaps your ears open and your eyes closed.
Well, some of that too. I did one time, and this is really magical, actually. It shows us how necessary and how valuable our senses are. I remember one time late last fall, I sat outside. It was beautifully warm. I sat outside just sipping a beer, and it was getting towards dusk, and so I just closed my eyes because there were so many sounds. I heard the robins sort of doing their fall chirping, and the crickets were still chirping away. The cardinals were singing and chirping away, and this was all with my eyes closed, and I could feel the breeze, the evening breeze, and I sat there with my eyes closed for about 45 minutes. It was absolutely beautiful, and that made a huge impression on me because I realized I was enjoying the garden so much without having to see it in front of me.
And there's your relaxation response kicking in immediately, right?
Absolutely, and that's one example of the peace we can get sitting in a garden or being out there. Now, on another angle of it, A very good friend of mine works at a local nursery here. She has for 35 years or so, and that's retail garden. Well, what does she do when she goes home? The first thing she does is, get a drink of some kind, drink of water and glass of juice, and then she goes out and works in her garden until dark. She's got the most gorgeous hosta gardens, and she's got a vegetable garden at about 100 feet by 20 feet, produces everything for the whole household until next gardening season. It's absolutely incredible. But that's Alan, where she gets her therapy then, when she gets home, because it's her own garden, and she's a total peace of mind at it, and she can talk to her own garden and enjoy it with nobody else around. Except the birds and the insects, because she lives out on her farm.
So it sounds like you're suggesting that we shouldn't try to get rid of the bugs and the birds and the mice and the bees and whatever, you know, we think are a bit of a nuisance in our garden.
Well, that's a very good point, because I was hoping that would come up sometime. Yes, absolutely. I use an expression very often when I'm speaking with people about gardening, etc. I say, don't sweat the small stuff. Because we know out there there's going to be aphids, there's going to be earwigs, there's going to be rabbits nibbling on this and that. Now, yes, the vegetable gardens can be totally destroyed very, very quickly, which is very annoying and very upsetting. But overall, outside the huge issues, I always just say, don't worry about it. I have wild roses here. And sometimes they get covered with aphids. Well, I just leave them alone, because then the ants love the aphids and something else loves the ants, et cetera, et cetera. We don't want to put too much of a break of a chain in the productivity of what's going on. Because
part
all
the
natural
ecosystem.
Events in a garden are just as important for the hard work we put in.
Right. Part of the ecosystem.
Yes, exactly.
Right. You recently, Alan, participated in the Growing Hope gardening workshops presented by Mississippi Mills Neighborhood Tomato Community Farm. Jay Young is part of that.
Yes.
He does a great job. They always do over there. Tell us about that presentation.
The presentation I gave to them, that was the one online,
yes.
I guess. Yes, we were talking about much of what I was talking to you about. But yes, I was trying to get the feeling out there for the people. It was on Zoom, of course. So I was trying to get the feeling out there to look at how simple and enjoyable the small things can be. I was just showing. I did two presentations actually on the horticulture therapy, and I gave examples of how you can take cuttings or examples of this and this. How to feel the soil, how to touch it, how to smell it, and many of these things people already know, but they don't realize that they are smelling the soil, or sometimes you can smell plants, of course. The mint will just have aroma all through the garden if you happen to brush it or go through it. So it's mainly the small things I try and bring to people's attention, and don't worry if something goes wrong. Now, the second presentation I gave just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I put on a couple of picture sessions very quickly. One of them was, I said to the listeners and the viewers on Zoom, I said, okay, now let's go for a walk. And I put on the Tulip Festival display around Dow's Lake in Ottawa, and it was just tulips going for a walk through the tulips, pictures of close-ups and everything, and that made quite a hit. The second one I gave was the mosaic that was over in Gatineau for a couple of years, which is a completely different application of things. If you can remember it, I don't know if you saw it yourself, Linda, but it was more or less topiary using, well, through the whole display over at the Gatineau display, there were at least 3.5 million plants used.
My goodness. You know, Alan, I'd like to hear more, but we've only got about a minute left, and I'm I'm sorry to have to cut you short on that.
That's all right. There's so much to talk about on these
things.
Oh,
isn't there, though? You wanted to mention the foster tree program very, very quickly in about 30 seconds. Could you do that?
Yes, for the care center, CareBridge, in Almont. We're going out, as a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks to rescue trees from construction sites or along the sides of the road, etc. And they're going to be collected by young people, hopefully, potted up, looked after, and then returned to the CareBridge people, who will then have hopefully have a farm set up to grow trees to distribute them around the town and places
and
that need them.
Our listeners could find out more by just going to CareBridge and going to the foster tree program?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And they can find out more about what you do by what? Going where?
I'm not online. I'm a Luddite.
Okay.
But I guess if anybody wanted to contact me, they could contact me through you, I suppose.
Sounds good. Alan, very timely speaking with you today because of all the stress we've been under. So it's a very relaxing conversation. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with your garden.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I just wish everybody a peaceful and happy gardening.
Thank you so much, Alan.
My pleasure.
Take care now.
You too. Alan, bye-bye. Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome. Alan Goddard is a master gardener and horticulture therapist. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.